Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Like so many, when I was young growing up, I loved to look at the stars, to sit out in the night sky and gaze up at the wonders that were there. We would go camping, my family and I, and we would sit around the campfire and lean back and be able to see the wonder and the glory. Perhaps we would try to seek out the constellations, and if we were lucky, we'd see a shooting star. Indeed, the cosmos is a wonderful thing. And even when I was young, I knew that there was something wonderful about the universe, something extraordinary about its vastness and its complexity. But I also grew up in a world of science, as all of us did, where everything we assume is knowable and will be known with enough research and study. Still, there's something wonderful about the mystery of the cosmos, the limitlessness of what's out there, the wonder of how vast our world really is. There's a fun little scene in the movie The Lion King where Simba and Timon and Pumbaa are themselves lying on their backs gazing up at the night sky, and Pumbaa says, "What are those? What are those things up there?" And Timon, the one who thinks he's so smart, says, "Well, I know what those are. Those are fireflies." Pumbaa. Boy, I got different, all three names, I think, matched into that. Pumbaa responds to Timon's smart aleck response with what's funny because it's the truth. "Oh, I thought they were balls of burning gas." I can't get their names correct. The little guy responds in like fashion by saying, "Pumbaa, to you everything is gas." The psalmist as well knows about the wonder and the mystery of the universe. Even in ancient times, as the psalmist writes these words and as people of that generation looked to the sky, there was a knowledge of the order of things. They could see that the stars moved in a predictable pattern, that the ways of the world were not as random and as simple as we thought they were. And it compels the psalmist to declare that the order of things in the world is how we know that God is in charge. When we can see that things work as they should, when we see that the randomness of what we think our world is about is not necessarily reflected in the sky. Just the other day, my wife was commenting on how the days in our part of the world are getting longer. She said, "I've never lived in a place where you could see the movement of the sun through the seasons quite as much as you can here." I said, "Well, you want to move to Fairbanks?" She said, "No." But the psalmist looks at the world and sees the order of things. The stars and the day and the night, the way the message of the universe declares that the Lord is in charge and the world is not random. Nothing is by chance. Everything is according to God's plan. Similarly, the psalmist says, the instruction of the Lord, the law of the Lord, the way that the Lord comes to us and gives us all that we need, all the wisdom and understanding that we need to face our days, is perfect and just and clear and true and righteous and to be desired more than gold or honey. The psalmist says that God's law creates order, sets us in our place, sets limits, allows us to be who we are to be, but also cautions us against being more than we think we should be. The law grants justice and punishes evildoers, but also forms community and teaches what it means to share and to be a people that is looking out for one another and a people that loves one another, not only with our words, but with our actions. But we've turned the Bible, it seems, into a rule book. It's as if we've said that God's word is, if you do as I say, then, well, I'll take care of you. I'll be your God, and maybe, if you're really good, I'll keep you forever in heaven. But if not, well, too bad. This is, I think, what many in our world, and maybe even ourselves sometimes, think that the Bible is all about, that it's about a rule book, about a way to please God, about a way of being in the world that will make us better than we could be. Even the Ten Commandments become not a gift of grace, but a way of beating each other over the head, of trying to slay one another, even with Christ's love. And yet the Bible, if used in relationship and used to build relationship and our faith as we come together and share one another's lives, can be a guide for us to guide our lives, not just for the sake of our own future, but for love and goodness for others. And in those times when we need forgiveness, the law drives us to Christ and shows us that God is the one who will give himself to seek us out and to take our place and to be the one who dies instead of us so that we may continue to live. Maybe that's why Jesus gets so upset when he comes to the temple and he sees all that's happening. He knows the words of the psalmist. He knows the desire of the Lord through the law. And yet he sees what is happening in the temple as people have twisted it for profit and greed and power and influence. And Jesus can't stand it any longer. And he must, he seems, put it right. Maybe we could look at our world and see that the way that we've transformed faith, the way that we've changed what it means to come together in church, repent of our ways of gathering together for our own purposes. Maybe these things happen out there in our world and we should stand against it. Or maybe we ought to look at our own lives, the way that we've fashioned our own congregation, and even the gifts of grace that God has given us. And maybe our task isn't to set things right, but to take all of that and put it away and say, those things are secondary, if only to the vastness of God's grace that comes to us, as the psalmist declares, the heavens are declaring the glory of God. And all we must do is recognize that God has come for us. God has given himself for us. It is another way of declaring that grace indeed does come first. Before any of us were, before any of this became something, God was there. Infinite, forever, and beautiful. So that we might know the goodness that is richer than gold, sweeter than honey, the grace of God that is for our lives today. Thanks be to God. Amen.